Before we begin today, we need to get in tune with God the Holy Spirit, to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And through 1 John 1:9, we always, that's our routine here, and nothing has changed, and I don't plan on changing that part. So let's go ahead and take a moment of silent prayer and get in fellowship, and then we'll get started. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for allowing us time to learn about your person and your word. We pray that we can focus today and get to know you more so we can glorify you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Today our subject is a position in Christ, and it's based in Ephesians 1:1, and Roy graciously gave me the verse to exegete, but I don't think we're going to get back to that just yet. I know I got started on it a couple classes ago, but then I backed off of it because there was just so much of the in Christ aspect that I hadn't covered. But we'll get there. We'll get back to there. But here is the list of what we were going through in our little mini series, I guess you could call it. And the more I got into it, the more I realized that these are, of course, very important. But another important part of this was the in Christ alone part. Because at last class we learned about the relational aspect of that and how that how we must maintain that relationship, and it takes getting to know God through His Word. So, a little bit of a review, and I tried to give you some more things to look at today to maybe keep you from getting too bored. So, last time we saw the mandate for us to grow in that relationship was in 2 Peter 3:18 from the Greek word oxano. So, for us, that was had to do with the present tense, which to continuously grow. And it's not a big deal to a lot of people, but for us it is, because we know how quickly we get out of tune when we stop growing or stop being in fellowship or stop getting the spiritual intake of food. We can so easily get sidetracked. And it's funny, when you think about the continuous growth aspect, I was reminded of the fact that God gives us this as a buffer zone for our own safety. Our sin nature is constantly on the attack, so the only way God knows to keep us right and keep our mind flowing with the right thoughts is to consistently and constantly have an intake of the Word of God. It's a renovation of our thought, and that is why the present tense is so critical here, is because we must have, we're human and we fail, so we have to have a continuous flow of truth. Otherwise, that safety buffer that God gives us through His Word and our thought process gets removed. So the removal only comes through our own decision. So we must have that's why we need the consistent, continual growth, the increase in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that was what we studied last class, more on the relational piece and how we should always maintain that. But this class I wanted to talk a little bit about, instead of the relational piece, more of the position. And we all realize these things, but a lot of them we take for granted many times because sometimes we don't think about them, or it's good just to look at them again. So the relationship starts with a position. And we all know that because we're all believers here. But it's always good to see these things again. And this is probably a review for some, but that's okay too. So the positional aspects of in Christ. And I wanted to just go through these, not necessarily spend a lot of time on them. But they are definitely important because we receive them directly, or we are beneficiaries of them at the moment of salvation. So this list is not definitely a complete list, but it's, I thought, was important points of about what we could take a look at about our position in Christ. So the first point is that it is a display of God's policy of grace towards us. And we covered that a little bit last time in Ephesians 2, 8, 9 about the fact that God the Father's plan has anything to do with us at all. He sent His Son on His own accord to earth to die for us because we were lost sinners and we needed a Savior. So He's our mediator, and the fact that He did that alone is a display of His grace. This shows common and efficacious grace in that we can have faith in our Savior, but He takes that faith and He makes it effective for salvation. So you can see how we take part, but we don't make it effective on our own. Point two is that our position in Christ shows His perfect character in all 10 of His attributes. And we can see that in various ways, and we could probably spend a whole lot of time, probably our entire lives, teaching on God's essence and in Christ, because the subject is endless. But I did want to list it because I think His essence is clearly seen in Christ on the cross and our position and how we are saved through Him. This brings up the questions of what did God the Father do? Why did He do it? How did He do it? And when did He do it? And you can clearly see that His essence shines through in all these facts. One example of that is 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. So it shows you that His plan was before, and we're only taking part of that plan. And through grace, we're allowed to continue on in that plan for eternity. Another example might be, despite the sin and evil in the world, God's plan is always perfect. His decisions are always perfect, and His plan is always perfect towards us. So that's a comfortable thing to know in itself. And I left you behind on the slides. The third point is the soteriological aspects of our position in Christ. You all know these, but they are definitely important to list because, you know, when we see in Christ, the small short phrase, two words, in Christ, sometimes it doesn't really bring to our minds what we need to think about. And these are definitely some of the things that should come to our mind, is eternal life and our eternal security. And that's found in John 10, 28 and 29. Redemption. We've been redeemed from the slave market of sin. We have a way out. We've been saved. We were once slaves, but now we are set free in Christ. Propitiation. The work of Jesus Christ is completely satisfying to God the Father on our behalf. Reconciliation. Our relationship was once torn between us and God, but now it has been brought back together. So we've been reconciled. Our relationship to God has been reconciled. Imputation, the fact that God, Jesus Christ submitted to God the Father's plan to have every sin imputed to Him on the cross. So that does not exclude any sin, that even the worst one you can think of. No one is a bad enough sinner that can exclude them from the cross. Justification. We are justified in God's eyes because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And at salvation, we instantly are credited God's righteousness. So through Jesus Christ, we are justified to even have any dealings with him. And lastly, unlimited atonement, which is Christ died for all. The next thing we should think of when we think of in Christ is around the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has a very active role in our position in Christ. The first thing, and some of this is a review from last class, but some of it isn't. The first one is that we are a new creature and set apart as God's royal family. And that's 1 Peter 2:9. Part of being set apart means we have that responsibility as Christians to grow and also to represent Christ to the world. So we not only represent ourselves to God, we also represent God to the world. And as Christians, we have that responsibility that comes with being set apart. But if you think about what we've been given and the responsibility behind that, it's not a big task. It should be part of the God's plan, and it is. We are a new spiritual species, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We now have the ability to understand spiritual things. So now we can learn about the mind of Christ and actually utilize and apply that in our lives, because we now are born again, have a human spirit, and the Holy Spirit can now teach our human spirit, and that's how we learn and apply. We have the ability to produce divine good and now to glorify God, which is a lot of our spiritual life, what it entails, which the Holy Spirit is in charge of that. Our communication to God and in prayer is made available through the Holy Spirit. So you can see our entire spiritual life and our growth is wrapped up in the phrase in Christ. So I just thought I wanted to mention it because we could spend a lot of time on just that single phrase, but we can't spend forever on it. So number five is our entire spiritual life. And that point I just wanted to make was that we have the ability to take on and have his thinking. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Next is the availability of divine power. So at salvation and in Christ, you now have access to everything that God is and everything that God has. A lot of times we see ourselves as not having a lot of control, and that is true, but at the same time we have the person who knows all and controls all. We have access to him. And number seven is the resurrection body, John 11:25. So those are the things that we can think about as we think about in Christ. So there's more than meets the eye when we look at it, and not just the verses we're going to look at. We talked a little bit about grace versus works, and I spoke a little bit about our relationship and how it's distinguished from Christianity. It's a relationship. So why is this important? And I think that's all the slides that I gave you to look at. So why is this important for us? And this subject hits really close to home for me, and I'm sure for you too, because we all know people, or we're all involved with people that are believers in Jesus Christ, but they are not growing spiritually. And you can sometimes rack your brains on trying to figure out how to get them to get going in a relationship, because the problems are exponential in their life and they look in every different direction to go except the way they should go. And I see people more frequent now in the dying stages of their lives that are believers in Jesus Christ, yet they aren't in an active relationship with Jesus Christ. And it really saddens me, and I think a lot about it on how I can affect them in a positive way to maybe make them see something that will, a flicker of light might come on that will allow them to go in that direction. So I have a few points here that I think are important to us in some ways, and more importantly to those that aren't growing but are believers in Jesus Christ. So the first point is that our physical life depends on our spiritual life. Without the spiritual, the physical cannot go on. And the reason it goes on is because God allows it to go on. So the spiritual controls the physical. The spiritual is exponentially more important than the physical, and that's found in 2 Corinthians 4:18, where it says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." It's easy to get caught up in the things we can see. And that's where I see a lot of this. These people are at in their lives. They can see what's around them, and they don't have faith in the things they can't see. And they seem to be stuck in that phase. Number two is blessings and happiness in life come from growing spiritually, and discipline and unhappiness from ignoring God's word. Point three, the spiritual guides the physical. Point four, they are contributing to the deterioration and eventual destruction of our client nation. It's always interesting to see someone that's very patriotic. We can all appreciate that. We love our country. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge because you have rejected the knowledge of doctrine. I will reject you from being a priest nation." Someone so caring to their country, so concerned about what's going on, yet they are the root and cause of the problem by not growing spiritually and continuing a relationship with God. It's a sad thing. Point number five is when we ignore the spiritual long enough, our soul becomes darkened or empty, as we, Pastor, talked in the last few weeks. The word we studied was mataiotes in Ephesians 4:17. Which is the blackout of the soul. And this is what happens here, is a long enough time in the cosmic system or out of fellowship, not taking in a consistent flow of truth, the Word of God, our soul becomes resistant to truth. So what I'm seeing and what you're seeing on the ground is the need is gone to even want to receive truth. There's no desire to want it. And actually, when the truth is heard, it's not believed. So over time, this is called walking in darkness in Ephesians 4:18, and leads to hardness of heart, which is another word we studied in the past weeks, defined as stubbornness. The Greek word is porosis. It's defined as stubbornness, persistence, continual rejecting, negative choice. So if there's a continual walk in that direction, eventually, just like a wound scars over with scar tissue, the same thing happens to our soul, which is shown to us in Ephesians 4:19. So right is viewed as wrong, and wrong is viewed as right. And we can see that today with marriage or even with our political system. Satan's thinking is rooted in, and the individual is being used as a pawn in Satan's plan. Scar tissue on the soul means discipline, loss of blessing, and for some believers, a sin unto death. So there's nothing that we can say or do to allow someone to realize to want the desire to go in the relationship. But there are things that we can educate them and help them to see, to make the decision on their own to turn in the right direction. Sometimes when you're speaking to someone like this, you might feel sort of wondering what's your purpose in this situation. They're a believer in Jesus Christ, but they're not growing. What can you do in that situation? You want to help them. You want them. You only want the best for them. You care for them. You love them. You want to see them have blessings and be happy, content, but you see just the opposite. And a lot of times when people are in the end phases of their life, that's the most critical time to wake up and go the other direction. So some of these things are, I think, are very important for us to realize, to maybe help them to realize that there is a responsibility. And I know that's not the thing that anyone wants to hear. I'm not even saying you should say that. But along with responsibility comes consequences as Christians. And we have to realize that these events that happen in our lives do not happen by accident. Whether it be health, whether it be marriage, whether it be weather, nothing happens by accident. So we need to take note on the fact how God operates. And He operates through blessing, through testing, and through discipline. And I can let you guess on which one of those a believer in Jesus Christ is receiving but not growing. It's not blessing, and it's not testing. So if we can help them to realize that there is a way out, a way to see that, they will be better off. It's never too late. The way I see it, it's never too late to turn in that direction. If you've ever, I know there's a couple, few military people in the audience, but if you're in a room of people, and a young gentleman walks up and he has a lot of ribbons. I'm thinking of Jason at the moment. But he's very young and he has a lot of ribbons. Hasn't been in the service that long. Of course, Jason's been in quite a while. But for this example, let's say he hadn't been in that long. And you've been in 10, 20 years and he's got a lot more ribbons than you. And what do you think is going on there? Well, the thing, what happens is he's been on a lot of missions. He might have been in combat. He's been used, in other words. He's been in serious critical positions where that has allowed him to go in the fight and to be recognized for what he's done. So don't ever think it's too late to start your spiritual growth in life, because each one of our spiritual growth is different from the other person. Some people's are more concentrated than others. Some people can start later in life and bypass someone that's been growing at a slower pace than they are, because they realize that they're more focused and they realize what they have. And a lot of times we don't, because maybe we grow up in it, or whatever the case. But, and I've seen that to be true specifically in the prison, where guys, the reason they're there is to be saved and to grow. And what happens is they get in tune and they lock in and they don't move. And it's a really a neat thing to see. And these are the guys that are going to be, if they stick with it, and you, the decorated ones. Nothing goes in vain and nothing is left on its own, right? Our decisions count and what we do counts. So we do have time working against us, which is a constant reminder, but it shouldn't keep us from slacking off. That's the one thing that it shouldn't do. So a position in relationship is the only benefit, or is only benefit. A lot of times you feel like when you're speaking to someone that is not growing, you're trying to give them something that is hurting them, or something that you want to help them, but you almost feel like they don't want any part of it. And it's hard to understand as someone that's trying to help someone. If you've ever tried to help someone or another person and they don't want to have any part of it, it's hard. It's hard. You don't understand why they don't want help and why they don't want the benefit. And that, we can see that in our own relationships. We can see that with other people. People have tried to get you to do certain things to benefit you that you don't see until later in life. But it's okay, it happens. But at the same time, this isn't just medicine. It's for your soul. And it's for your happiness. These people have a way to be content in the last phases of their life, completely happy, and realize that God's timing is perfect even in these situations. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ feels for us as believers. He consistently wants us to... He's drawing us in. He wants us to get to know Him. He wants us to be in a relationship. He loves us dearly. And He wants you to get to know Him. And the only way that He can do that is through discipline. If we reject, it's through discipline. Because that's the only thing, unfortunately, that wakes us up. You can, I don't know your children, but you can say no a lot of times. And for some kids that works, right? No. But sometimes you have to take it a step farther, because no, when you say no, they realize what? Well, they're just going to say no. And I'm okay with that. And the consequences of no are what? Nothing. Just saying no. So if the child responds to the no, that's a good thing. But I don't see that happening many of the times, that children respond to no. And it works the same way with God. But He's very gradual and very... He's a gentleman, right? He warns us about discipline. And then what happens... towards the end stages of life is what you see is He's trying intensely to get your attention. So it starts with warning and it continues and continues and it gets more intense until we either must make a decision or God removes you from the face of the earth. Why? Because you can't do Him any more good on the earth. Your time is done, right? You've exhausted your time and rejected the maximum amount of time He's given you on this earth, and you've used it, you've exhausted it. So it's time to go home. So Philippians 3:8-9 We covered a little bit last time, but I think it really emphasizes the importance of this relationship. It says, "More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him." So what jumps out at me is the loss of all things, but that's counted as rubbish, in order that we may gain Christ and may be found in Him. So the things that we get wrapped up in the physical are meaningless. Really, all we have is our spiritual life, is really what we have. But at the same time, we so easily get caught up in the physical. Whether it be a hobby, whether it be family, whether it be job, work. The physical is important and it's a must, but at the same time, we have to keep our priorities with God first. When we start to shift, work maybe might move to the top, and then we don't have enough time for that relationship. So we always have to keep our priorities straight, because it says, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him." Can we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for allowing us to see more of Your plan and see that we, the importance of growing in a relationship with You and understanding that how important that is, and that we should always continue to seek You and know You. And we also want to thank You for Jesus Christ, because through Him we would not have life or relationship with You. We also like to allow those who have never considered the fact that Jesus Christ came to the earth to die for all of our sins so that we might be saved and have access to a relationship with Him and also to eternity. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it, but we have it. We'd like to thank You for that. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.